Just a little note on what you said on like networks and, to get students in. I think that's really important. And while I personally tend to underestimate our influence as lecturers on students, I think that it's there, because I had like an experience this semester. A student of mine, a master's student, she like came to me and asked me if she could do a master's thesis on Ladlit. So kind of, the pendant to what I did was Chicklit in a way, because she said she read it and she was inspired and she thought it would be impossible at our department. But then, we had talks and she's going through with it now. And I think that's great. Yeah, well, now I'm gone, but still, I think we had many more classes on like pop fiction, popular fiction, genre fiction, and unconventional genres in the last years, and that also changed the ways that students approached literature or their studies, and I think that's really important. That was just an anecdote. Right now, I'm not really working with women's writing or post-feminist fiction. So what I present or what I talk about, maybe it is of relevance in another way. I just go through with it and tell you what I'm working on right now. Basically, two projects. I start with the first one. That is actually my main research project right now. It's about literary blackfacing, or what I call literary blackfacing. So white authors imitating, appropriating black or colored narrative voices. So this fits in the framework of cultural appropriation, but I'm actually interested in the critical potential of this kind of writing. And I think there are some texts who are critical about it. So, critical whiteness is the other theoretical strand that's important here. As I'm at the German department now, I will focus on German literature. Well, not exclusively German literature, but it will be my main focus. On a theoretical level, I'm interested in the connection between critical whiteness studies and imagology or image studies, which is a subfield of Complet that deals with cultural national stereotypes and images in texts. A first article will appear in October in Complet, that's a new journal of European literature, arts and society. The title of my article is Between Literary Blackface and Critical Whiteness, European Meta-Images in Hans Pasche's Lukanga Mukara and Hermann Hesse's The European. So both writers are, well, Hermann Hesse is kind of canonical, but also not. I mean, he's usually described as an author that you read when you're young, and afterwards you just, you can't connect to him anymore. And Hans Pasche, I think he's completely forgotten. He was also like a political activist who was murdered by fascists in the 20s. So Hans Pasche initially published The Letters. This is an epistolary novel dated from May 1912 to October 1913, consecutively in a journal. He claimed to be the collector and editor of the letters of Lukanga Mukara, a black East African persona who had supposedly been sent to Berlin by his king to study the customs of the whites. It's like a reverse story of what we know by, for example, Conrad's Heart of Darkness or the Persian letters. Hesse's fable, it's a fable, not a novel, dates from only a few years later, but it was written in a very different world that had been at war for 3 years, so World War I. He published it also in a newspaper, in the Neue Zürcher Zeitung in 1918, under the pseudonym of Emil Sinclair. The fable is a retelling of the biblical story of Noah's Ark set after the First World War. God has sent the flood to end the war, and Noah gathers representatives of all animals and peoples on his ark. Among these, the European is the last to be taken on board. Although the story is told by an omniscient narrator, the European, who is the only white passenger, is portrayed as the other throughout. Those texts for me are particularly noteworthy for the strong emphasis on whiteness and critical whiteness and Europeanness, and for kind of oscillating between literary blackface and critical whiteness. At the moment, I'm working on compiling a corpus of primary literature, and this should eventually become my habilitation or second book. The impetus for the project came from debates about cultural appropriation. I have been thinking a lot about cultural or literary appropriation in literary texts. And I do or did, I still do wonder how to evaluate white authors who write black characters. Are they all to be cancelled for committing cultural appropriation and making it even harder for their non-white colleagues in a highly competitive neoliberal book market? Does it depend on how they do it, in a stereotypical, hurtful and insulting way, or with tact and nuance? And at what point does white authors' use become a misuse of black figures? Where, on which text levels, does literary blackface even begin, and how does it relate to critical whiteness? Are the two concepts mutually exclusive, or can they coexist in one and the same text, sometimes in the very same narrative voice? How important is it to factor in when and where a book was published? These are just some initial questions I wrote down to think about. I'm afraid this project has not so much or nothing to do with post-feminism or women's writing, because most of the texts in my corpus were written by men. So far, I have only discovered one female writer, Claire Goll, who could be interesting. She's also more like popular fiction and not literary fiction. However, the novel in which she appropriates a black male voice was published in 1926. So again, it's a bit older and there's no post-feminist connection here. Maybe a feminist one though. The second project is a bit more relevant for this meeting, I think. There might be more connections to the post-feminist culture industry. I'm looking at the literature of or about Black Europe. Over the last year, I've worked intensively with two texts that deal with sex trafficking from Nigeria to Europe. The first is a novel entitled On Black Sister Street by Nigerian-Belgian author Chika Onigwa, and the second is a feature film with the title Joy by the Austrian filmmaker Suda B. Mortisai, who also has an Iranian family background. If sex trafficking is considered a form of modern-day slavery, Onikva's novel and Mortisai's film share a common genre genealogy that goes back to the slave narrative. Autobiographical accounts by formerly enslaved people, which circulated intensively until the end of the American Civil War. This genre has experienced several resurgences which have received significant scholarly attention. First, in the so-called neo-slave narratives of the 70s and 80s, mostly novels set in the time of the transatlantic slave trade. Alex Haley's Roots and Toni Morrison's Beloved are among the most popular examples, I think. And then in the late 20th century, factual neo-slave narratives written by former trafficking victims began to flourish. There might be a connection to the Misery memoir by Amy, of what you talked. They are not necessarily Muslim, but these autobiographical narratives were also read as kind of, you know, misery memoirs that are really sad. But I'm not interested in the autobiographical books so much, and more in the fictional works, mostly novels, but also films. For example, the book by Onigwa and the film by Mortisai. They are both about Nigerian sex workers in Antwerp, that's Onigwa, and Vienna, that's Mortisai. And I would say that that's a quote now by a scholar who worked about Chika Onigwa, Ifeyinwa Okolo. And I would say what she wrote about Onigwa's novel is also true of Mortisai's film and of several examples of this genre of fictional new slave narratives. namely that it ambivalently combines the fictional and mediated personal testimonies of highly individualized women with the feeling of a socially representative document that speaks to African female migrant experience in the diaspora. I think that the study of fiction about contemporary modes of human trafficking and slavery, particularly from Africa to Europe, which has remained a kind of marginal subcategory of migration literature and women's writing, could be a new and important field in comparative literature. I see the creative depiction of agency, mobility, and inclusivity within given immobile and exclusionary structures that are closely related to colonial legacies, but also to more recent neocolonial conditions, as a particular strength of these texts. Currently, I'm preparing a first article to appear in a special issue of the same journal, Complit, which I co-edited with my colleague, Chana Tsoko. The issue is titled Sketches of Black Europe, Imagining Europeans in African and African Diasporic Narratives, and it is to be published in October next year. There are at least four other novels that I would classify as belonging to the same genre of fictional new slave narratives and that I could imagine continuing to work with. I am particularly interested here in the potential of fiction to tell contemporary trafficking stories in a multi-perspective and nuanced way that allows for simultaneities. Being both victim and perpetrator, vulnerable as well as empowered, exoticized and exoticizing, mobile while immobile. And I think that's something that fiction does better or differently than autobiographical literature. Yeah, I think that are my interests right now, and I hope that there are some connections to yours.